Dennis Farrell here from the Wrestling Perspective podcast and formerly the Duckcast. Before we start this episode, I just want to put a statement out there about the James Ellsworth allegations and what's going on. And bear with me as I'm trying to work through these thoughts in the situation. It's unfortunate. For everybody involved, I've said it many times, and I will continue to say this, guilty or innocent, I hope justice is served, whatever that means. I don't know if he did it, and I don't know if he did not do it. But myself and Petey Williams sat down and discussed it, and we came to the conclusion that it's best if we part ways with him. We've deleted every episode of the Duckcast that James and I have done, and unfortunately there were some really good episodes, but in light of the allegations, we could not in good faith keep these episodes up. And like I said, bear with me. It's crazy, unfortunate, and you know, I hope I can believe that the best in people, and I've had conversation with him, and I hope what he told me was true. I'm not going to divulge that right now, maybe for at a later time, but I hope what he told me was true. But in these situations, I don't want to alienate the victim at the same time. So we are siding on the side of caution, I guess, here, and just parting ways. The Duckcast will be no more. I don't know if he becomes innocent. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if it will come back. I'm going to guess no. He's got some things to work out, and it's going to take a very, very long time. I'd like to think that I'll find another weekly show to plug into the place with another wrestler to give you different insights. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I've reached out to a few people. Unfortunately, I've taken some backlash in the situation just being associated with him. I had no prior knowledge, by the way, based on this. We all have heard the rumors in the innuendo, taking that one from Conrad, about his social media activities. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to throw my two cents in. I just want to apologize to the fans, especially if you're a Duckcast listener, that as a fan that you're put in a situation as a listener. Hopefully you guys will stick around and listen to the Wrestling Perspective with Petey and myself. We're doing the best job that we can in a weird, horrible, unfortunate situation to move forward. This is the last statement we'll put out. I'm sorry. From the bottom of my heart, I am sorry that this happened to everybody involved. I'm sorry to you, the fans, that you know we had to pull the past episodes. It just seemed like the right thing to do. Is it a knee-jerk reaction? Yes. Is it the right reaction? I feel like it is. And if you're mad that I pulled the episodes, I'm sorry. I think it's just the right thing to do in this situation. Distance ourselves as far from James Ellsworth as possible right now. I hope that in the end, I don't know what I hope. I don't know how to feel, what to say, what to do. I just don't know. Okay, I'll be honest with you guys. I feel for the victim. And not just this victim, but any victim, past, present, or future. I feel for her family, what she has to go through. True or not, it's unfortunate. And, you know, I hope James is innocent. I hope a court of law will find him innocent. If it goes to trial, you know, we spent the better part of 6 months becoming friends. This has happened. I don't know where our friendship stands. I've talked to him. He's got a lot of things to work out, and I'm sure the future of our friendship is the least of his worries right now. We put everything on hold, and that's where it stands. I'm going to be 100% honest with you people, and I hope that you will hear what I'm saying and understand it as somebody that's never gone through this. I want to believe the best in people. I want to believe that everybody is telling the truth. I know that in horrible situations, people lie. But in this situation, you have to side with caution. And I feel bad for hanging our friendship out to dry like this. Hopefully he understands, and I wouldn't blame him or anybody else if the shoe was on the other foot, never to talk to me again. So I think he understands what's going on. If he's innocent, I want to do my best to support him. If he's guilty, I want to do my best to distance myself from him. And that's, I guess, the only true statement I can make. I don't know. And, you know, we're going to move on. PD and I will move on with the Wrestling Perspective every week. We're going to try to find a new show. I don't know who or what or what it's going to be, but hopefully any of the fans from the Duckcast will stick around and keep listening and help support PD and I. We've got a lot of things, cool things coming up and going on. And I like to think we built a family and a friendship here that you guys will stick around and support us. I've taken some lumps on social media, and that's to be understood with my association. Hopefully our friends, our fans will come to our defense. We'll help get the word out and the message that we are a stand-up podcast. I know Grim Toy Show, who was a guest on the show and I became friends with, has kind of made the same statement and done the same things. And I support him. He supports me. And him and I kind of talked about how we're going to go forward with our respective brands. I got a lot of great insight from him. So thank you to everybody who's reached out and talked to me. Whether, you know, you're the Detroit Sports Podcast guys, thank you. You know, Michael Berry, thank you. Anybody and everybody who has reached out and seen if I was okay. I haven't gotten back to everybody. There's a lot of hate mixed in with that. We had a record-breaking week with emails and voicemails. I just want you guys to know I'm not playing any of the voicemails, the anti-Ellsworth voicemails, all 72 of those. The 134 emails we got in the last 24 hours, good and bad, I appreciate you taking the time to write. And sometimes even you as a fan need to vent. And I'm here to be that vent, whether you are pro or against Ellsworth. I'm here to be your ear. But this podcast that you're about to listen to, whether you have already heard it or not, was pre-recorded before any of this stuff happened. So any talk of Ellsworth or the Duckcast or promotion is null and void, is gone. And, you know, until further notice, it's going to stay that way. And, you know, hopefully everybody involved will be all right. Everybody, the victim, the defendant, it's a crazy situation. I hate to be involved on the fringe end of it as a partner with Ellsworth. And I hate that our fans who listen every week, who've downloaded, who've supported us, I hate that you guys are put into that situation too. So as a business owner here at Wrestling Perspective, I want to apologize to you guys. So thank you. Hopefully you'll continue to support and enjoy this podcast. We'll be right back. guys. It's time for the Wrestling Perspective Podcast. I'm Dennis Farrell, and I'm not sure if my podcast partner has gotten married over the weekend in Vegas still, but he's Petey Williams.
How's she going, eh?
Did you get married again?
No. That's no.
No drive-through marriage.
I didn't get married in Las Vegas. No drive-through weddings, nothing like that. But, you know, I tell you, Dennis, man, you been to Vegas before?
Yes, I went for my first time. Here's an amazing story. I went for my first time last year. I'm 41 years old now. You can wish me happy birthday in a little bit. I'm 41 years old. I went for my first time last year. I got into a ton of trouble. I spent, I spent in 4 days $1,700. My wife was not happy. Yeah, thank you. That was, you know, my wife was not happy at all with me. And I barely gambled. It was mostly restaurants and drinks. I didn't realize until the last day that there are two Vegases. There's New Vegas and Old Vegas. And if you get in an Uber, spend $6, go to Old Vegas, everything is half quarter the price. You could get those $1.99 steaks that you hear about and all that stuff. Had no clue. I'm eating, you know, $200 dinners every night.
Well, Vegas, I mean, I love it. I've been here, I don't know, like a half dozen times. I love this place. Like, I really do. I've still never wrestled in Las Vegas. But I mean, the air is really dry here. Like, I have a nonstop, like, bloody nose and sore throat. It's just, it's super dry here. So we're having a good time. We just got finished our last set of tapings and, you know, they've been really fun. I love doing it.
Let's start with getting into Vegas. You're getting ready for your first show. Because you and I have not talked at all. Usually when you go on a trip, we're either on the phone talking or texting like crazy. But this time you're kind of MIA. I didn't know if, like, you'd wake up in a bathtub full of ice and your kidney's missing.
No, I mean, we're just off the strip. You know, we're not on Fremont Street in the Old Vegas or the New Vegas, but we're right off the strip. But, you know, it's just, I mean, I don't know where to start. I mean, I know I haven't really been off the grid. You know what I think it is, Dennis? Mm. It's the time change. It really is. It's the time change right now for you. What time is it for you right now?
It is 12:48 in the morning. As we record this, by the way, it's Tuesday night, almost 1 a.m.
So Tuesday going into Wednesday. So yes. For me, it's like not even 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's
so,
like noon.
I mean, that's
there.
The disconnect, I think. I haven't really been off the grid. Super busy with the tapings, though. I mean, we got started at 6 o'clock every night. Now we're at the Samstown Casino, and you know, we're pretty much wrapped up every night by, you know, the latest 9 o'clock. And just chaotic days. I mean, it's just pumping out like 12 to 13 segments, a lot of pre-tapes and stuff. We're filming for, how many shows did we film? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 6 weeks in the 3 days.
Wow.
And one of them was our Thanksgiving special. What's going to, you know, obviously going to air on Thanksgiving. And I love doing the Thanksgiving special because, you know, it's a lot of recap, a lot of like pre-tapes. You know, what we usually do for the Thanksgiving Day special is, this year, and it's the second annual, Eli Drake gravy train turkey trot is what we call it. And Eli Drake has been in the match for the past, 2 years. And, you know, it's kind of like the old Royal Rumble. Like, you know, we got the tumbler and then you pick out like, okay, Eli Drake picks and his, one of his partners is whoever. And then the person on the opposite side, the same thing, tumbler, and he'll pick and whoever, and they'll bring out the person, and then we'll do a little like, you know, segment. Like it's a lot of comedy, which I love. And then the match itself is like 25 minutes long. With commercials, it's probably like 40 minutes or 35 minutes. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. Like we kind of throw the storylines and stuff out the window, and we just have fun in the match. Like, it's not like, I don't want to ruin anything for you or for anybody, but if you get a chance to, if you're not doing anything at 10 o'clock on Thanksgiving, watch Pop TV, because it's just, it's a fun match to watch. It really is, because they do a lot of comedy in the match, which is really good. And they do a lot of like good wrestling as well. So it's a good mixture. And I loved watching it. The commentary with Don Callis is hilarious on commentary, and it just playing to everybody's characters. It's such a good time. I never laughed so hard just watching this thing in the truck. It was great.
Have you ever been stuck in the turkey outfit?
No, I haven't. I haven't even been in the match itself to be even considered to be in the turkey outfit. And, you know, I don't want to give anything away this year of what happens. But I remember at the last set of tapings in New York, I asked Sanjay, I said, "Hey, who's wearing the turkey suit this year?" And he goes, "Man, I'm not going to tell you. I want it to be a surprise for you." So Sanjay does stuff like that just to pop me, kind of like, "I don't want to tell you. I want it to be a surprise." And of course me, I'm like, "Well, is it, give me a hint, you know, like, has he ever wrestled here before?" "Yes." "Are they currently on the roster?" "No." And then I'll start naming some names, and after a couple, he's like, "I'm not telling you anything else. You just got to wait. I'm not telling you anything else." And then when I get the formats emailed to me, I'm like, "Oh yes, I can't believe, you know, he's going to be back," and all that kind of stuff. So, it gets me super excited. And, the match itself was just great. And then that person, wore the turkey suit. I thought he did a great job wearing the turkey suit. And, I mean, just all fun stuff. I you know, it sucks. I can't wait till we do our podcast weekly, and then this has already aired, and I could talk about it openly and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of sucks. We're doing our podcast now. Nothing that we filmed has already aired. I know it's been reported online and stuff. So, but I say, you know, you and I hate giving spoiler alerts. We just don't, you know, or spoilers, I should say.
There might be one, but we'll save it to the end of the podcast. So if people want to end it, we'll talk a little bit about that thing that broke on the internet, and then you can talk a little bit about it, but we'll push it to the very end, and people can just hit stop when we give them the warning.
All right. Yeah, that sounds perfect. Let's do it that way. I like your setup, Dennis.
Let's before we get back into the Las Vegas stuff, let's talk about this TV deal. It's been a hot topic on Dirt Sheets and writers on the internet this week about how, you know, the Pop TV contract is up in December, maybe December 31st. I'm not sure. I didn't read it. I'm not even gonna lie to you. So, but it looks like, you know, Impact officials are shopping. I'm doing the finger air quote thing. You can't see me, but I'm doing it. As everybody is doing it too. Shopping your product around. What have you heard backstage?
Nothing much. I'm not really privy to those conversations. Like, I'm not privy to the contract conversations, money stuff, and, you know, anything like that. But, you know, I mean, that makes sense. If you look at any television, if you just look at WWE, they're on USA Network, and then they're going to, what is it, Fox now, some Fox affiliates or whatever. That's normal for a company to shop around and stuff like that. So that doesn't surprise me that we'd shop around to other companies and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Pop TV has been our home for quite a while. I feel, this is just my feeling, okay, Dennis? So when people pick this up on their news sites and stuff like that, this is just my feeling. It's not like, oh, this is reported. I feel after December 31st, there's still a potential that Pop TV would still have us on. You know, I don't think we'll, I honestly strongly feel that we won't be without TV pretty much.
All right.
Whether it's on Pop TV or somebody else.
Have you been privy to any TV talks? I'm not going to ask you.
No.
Okay. So I won't ask you anything outside of that. I just want to ask you, have you been in any of those meetings?
TV meetings?
Yes.
No. I mean, so if there's going to be meetings when it comes to that kind of stuff, like just going back to when we had Scott D'Amore on our podcast, he talked about when they met with you know, WWE and stuff like that. You know, that's like a Scott D'Amore, maybe. I don't even know if Don does that, but like that's a Scott D'Amore, Ed Nordholm type thing that they're going to have. Like even Sanjay won't have a hand in that. He won't be at the meetings. He'll know what's up, but he won't be in the meetings. That's not his role. His role is head of creative and so forth. And same with Jimmy Jacobs. So that's like a Scott D'Amore type thing.
By the way,
I wouldn't be in any of those meetings.
And by the way, clear this up for me, because I got into a, I'd use the word tiff, by the way, in one of the Impact chat rooms that I hang out in, because I like to hear what the fans say. Great Facebook page, Impact Fan Nation, I believe it was. And I went back and forth with a guy who swore up and down because the WWE is going to a tier system that you guys will give them your weekly show to air on their WWE network.
Wait, so you're saying that on this website it's been reported that...
No. It's a fan Impact Facebook page. And he is...
Okay, so this web... Okay. So they're saying that...
They believe you guys will leave TV and either license or sell your TV, weekly TV, to WWE so they can air it on their network.
That seems a little ridiculous, but, nothing surprises me in wrestling, I guess I could say. I don't see, wow. I mean, it's kind of shocking. I mean, I don't think that would happen. I really don't. I don't know why.
Would you be disappointed?
That's a good question.
I know.
That's, I mean, part of me would be like, yeah, because essentially, if that was the case, then that means WWE bought us out, right? I mean, that's what it would mean. We'd be on their network and underneath them, and then their guys would come over and handle our business and run our shows. That's what it seems like, because they own us. That's what it seems like this person would be saying. I don't think WWE would be like, yeah, okay, you run all your own stuff, just you're going to air on our network. You know, no, anything that airs on their network, they want a hand in, I would say.
Right.
So that would disappoint me, because then, okay, all the creative and stuff like that, it's going to pretty much be just another WWE show, just with the Impact brand on it. Kind of like they did with ECW, you know, like it wasn't the real ECW, like they aired it and you could tell it was the WWE version of ECW. So that would disappoint me in that sense. In another sense, I mean, would it, like, okay, yeah, now we have like a different amount of funding. We have a home, all that kind of stuff. Then there could be some like cross promotion. Like you could see WWE guys come up on Impact TV, see some dream matches and stuff. That would be the cool part that I would really enjoy to watch. But I highly, highly doubt that will happen.
Okay. I didn't think so. And I think I would be disappointed, because it just seems like it'd be another thing WWE has slowly taken advantage of. So I'm glad that hasn't happened. And speaking of ECW, did you talk to Tommy Dreamer yet this week?
Oh yeah, I've talked to him all week. Why? What's up?
How's PhoneGate going?
PhoneGate. We haven't talked about PhoneGate. We've just been talking about other things and all that kind of stuff.
Because I'll be honest, I tried to get him on the podcast as a surprise to you. And I thought it'd be funny, since if you go back and listen to a few episodes ago, Tommy basically big-timed you. We were at a merch table. I kind of called him out, I don't want to say backfired, but it was great because you two started kind of yapping at each other. And to get you back, then this has nothing to do with Tommy Dreamer liking me as a person or Tommy Dreamer wanting to be my friend. Tommy Dreamer gives me his phone number, and he's like, text me anytime. Now, I'm smart enough to know Tommy Dreamer, if I walk by him again, he'll never remember me. He'll be like, hey, you, come over here and buy this shirt for me. So I know that was a move directly to get back at you, Petey Williams.
Yeah, and Tommy does that. I mean, he likes to pull ribs on you know, the boys and all that kind of stuff. But no, I mean, it was great hanging out with Tommy at this set of tapings. He had, man, you know, I don't really want to talk about what he did, but
don't talk about it.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, we the our interactions backstage is, you know, even though I'm an agent, I ask for advice from Tommy. I'm like, hey, man, I need help with this. What do you think? And Tommy's great at giving advice. Like he's been around for a very long time, and you know, he says, you know, this is what I would do, and all this kind of stuff. And you got to remember, like, Impact Wrestling is ran differently backstage than WWE. So, you know, some of his advice, like Tommy's worked for all the companies all over the world, all that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit, we just run things a little bit differently. So, you know, his advice that he gives me sometimes, like the majority of the time I take it, or I'll put my own spin on it or whatever. But, you know, he's always very helpful for me. Sometimes I'll ask him stuff and he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, no. And I have to like kind of like poke at him, like, you know, like poking the bear, like, no, come on, Tommy, don't. You know, you're blowing me off right now. I'm like, listen, man, I really need help with this. You know, what advice can you give me? You know, like, do we need to talk privately? Whatever the case may be. But he'll always come back around and be like, I don't know. He'll walk away. And then maybe 20 minutes later, I don't know if he needs that time to think like and digest what I just brought to him. But then he'll come back and be like, listen, man, here's the deal. And then he comes up with like some like, not crazy, but like, very insightful stuff. And I'm like, wow, I didn't think of it that way. So yeah, Tommy's great like that.
I don't have anything else on that. We'll move on. We'll move a little bit past that.
Okay.
Tommy didn't
mention your name, if that's what you were asking.
No, not but, me, but I was just trying to get at, are
he
you...
He did wish you a happy birthday though.
Did he?
I'm wishing you a happy birthday right now again.
Oh man, listen. I'll be honest. It made me smile when you remembered me.
Oh, of course I would, man.
So
of course I would.
The three most important people in my life is Petey Williams.
Yep. Number one. Yes.
My dad and my mom. Now, Out of these three people, only one of you three wished me a happy birthday.
So I know your mom has passed away.
That's right.
And your dad, I don't know much about your dad. You don't really talk about him.
Thus being that she couldn't text me, so I don't really blame her this year for that.
Okay. And then I wish you a happy birthday.
She's off the hook. Yeah. Although my dad did end up calling me a day later, many hours later after that. So I think that his new wife was like, did you wish your son a happy birthday? He's like, who?
Yep.
So
that's probably how it went.
So yeah, it by the way, this is I don't even want to get into it, but yeah, it made me smile when you wished me happy birthday. 41 years old, Petey Williams. I'm not doing any more backflips.
No, you need to stop all your backflips now. Yeah, and I don't even want to get into it. I mean, I've had instances with my dad wishing me happy birthdays. That's we can almost do a whole podcast, but it wouldn't be wrestling related. About our parents wishing us a happy birthday, I would say.
And speaking of birthdays, I do want to wish fan of our show. You've seen him at many signings. His name is Hussein Hussein. He's a fan of the podcast. It is his birthday today as we're recording it. So, Petey, I told him you would wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Hussein. I think it's Hussein, not Hussein, but oh. I think it's Hussein. So happy birthday. I don't know how old he is turning or where he's from or anything, but I hope you have a blessed birthday, and I wish you all the luck for the upcoming year.
He's from Detroit. Let's see here.
Oh, whoa, awesome.
We have a message on Twitter. Question is, do you feel like Rich Swann is the modern-day Impact version of WCW's Eddie Guerrero right now, considering that he's a high-flying flyer, constant workhorse that usually is in the kickoff of the tapings or pay-per-views, but has always given you a top three match of that night. He has an amazing talent.
Yes, Rich. There's a couple people I'm very high on that, like that X Division type, the X Division pretty much. Rich Swann's one of them. I mean, if you ask Rich Swann to do anything, he is going to deliver. And he always does. And you always see him like in our opening matches. Usually he'll be, you know, we'll have our like cold open at the beginning and all that kind of stuff. And then our first thing you'll see is Rich Swann's music and his entrance and him dancing around. So that's a fun way to open up our show. You'll see it a lot. And he always delivers, man. Rich Swann, I mean, he'll ask me like advice, like, hey, what'd you think of the match or whatever? There's really nothing I could say. I mean, his stuff is always solid, and he's just always has great matches and stuff, and he's so incredibly talented and just athletic. Is he the modern day Eddie Guerrero? Oh man, I mean, that's, he's maybe not there yet. I mean, when you think Eddie Guerrero, I mean, you could throw anything at Eddie Guerrero, whether it be a match or like an angle or a character or anything, and he can make, he could turn like anything into gold pretty much. You know, you look at him with China with a Mamacita thing, like they were probably expecting that to be a comedy flop, but that ended up being like a huge storyline that he made work. So with Rich Swann, I mean, yeah, he's getting there. I don't think he's at Eddie Guerrero's level yet, but athletically, man, he's definitely there, if not, you know, better than Eddie.
I would say Dean Malenko.
What's up?
I would say he would be your Dean Malenko right now. You know, it doesn't seem like you guys are giving Rich Swann a lot of mic time, although I have seen a lot of pre-tapes that, you know, he has been featured in. But I think you could have do more to either shine or help grow a personality, which kind of makes me feel like a Dean Malenko who, minus the mic, who, you know, even he probably would tell you he wasn't the best on the mic, he's getting over. He's your workhorse, and he's always still in the show in the ring.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with you 100% with that. And I think they're, like you said, they're featuring more in like pre-tape segments and stuff, especially with him and another one that's, you know, I love like so much is Willie Mack. I don't know if you got to see a lot of Willie Mack, a lot of his stuff, Dennis, but he is like, man, he's gold, man. Like, he's very deceptively athletic. Like, you look at him, you're like, oh, who's this? And then he's, like, awesome in the ring. His facial expressions are awesome. His character. Man, even backstage, when the camera's not even on, I laugh at Willie Mack when he says certain things. Like, he's a gold mine, I feel, in my opinion. Like, Willie Mack's, you know, my guy. And he has a, you know, if you look up Willie Mack, he has a long history. Like, he used to ride the bus to shows, I think, at one point. Used to be homeless, and now he's at where he's at now, working with the NWA and with Impact. And Lucha Underground. Willie Mack is awesome. So
Lucha Underground,
yeah, Lucha Underground, yeah, that too. But he's all over the place. So it's you know, well, and it means so much to me when Willie Mack's like, "Hey, man, you know, I remember when I first met him at a House of Hardcore. Like, I'm one of Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore. So he was like, "Hey, man, you know, I saw you at Remember seeing me at PWG?" And I'm like, I don't. And he's like, yeah, I was sitting in the crowd in the back row. He was a fan, so he used to watch my stuff, and it means a lot to me that, you know, somebody his caliber is like, man, I'm a big fan of yours. And now I'm like, man, Willie, I'm a big fan of yours. You know, like I had lunch, I guess you could call it lunch, with him today, and I'm just like, just some of his one-liners are hilarious. Like, he just has money written all over him. I think he's gold, and he's great in the ring, outside of the ring. Everything about him, perfect. I love myself some Willie Mack.
How different is it for you? Because this is a small spoiler alert. I don't think it's anything major, but you're not on these set of tapings, which means the next 6 to 8 weeks of TV, you're not going to be on it. And that's kind of by choice. You didn't think you would be available for these tapings, so they didn't write anything for you. You're now kind of more of management. You're part of the office now. You're producing. You're right. And when I tell people this, when I promote on Facebook or stuff, like, hey, Petey's not just a failed wrestler, jokingly, by the way, but he's a producer, sits in the truck and helps produce segments. He's a booker. He helps write. He's, you know, an agent. He does all kinds of stuff backstage, which really is amazing for the podcast now, because you went from when we started to retired and not doing anything to doing all this stuff. So how different is it for you going into this set of tapings with a totally different role? And normally you would wrestle and do this, but now you're just doing this.
Yeah, it was tough when I did both, I'll tell you. Because sometimes when I wrestled, I focused on my match because I didn't want it to be bad. And then, you know, the stuff I was agenting or producing, that would kind of lack because I would leave that as an afterthought. And now I can strictly focus on, you know, agenting the matches and stuff. And even so, like, I have a few matches I might agent or whatever, but I'll assist and help out with other people just to give them ideas. And I don't get offended if they don't use my ideas, you know, but just, you know, when you are snowballing or not snowballing, but like just brainstorming, I should say, and just bouncing ideas off, like you might come up with something else that's even better. So I'll even talk to other talent that it's not my match at all, but you know, knowing what's going to happen in the match, like, hey, what do you got? You know, I might have something else that I can kind of throw at you or whatever, to see if like you like that and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I like having my hand in a lot of things. But yeah, and it's super busy. Like, I mean, it's nonstop from, you know, sunrise to sunset and even past sunset. Like we're filming a lot of stuff. And you know, once the show gets rolling and stuff, and I got to eat, and I might be walking, and somebody's like, hey, did you see my match? And I didn't even have their match. Or like, you know, yeah, I saw it or part of it or whatever, and I give them that advice. So, you know, it's nice to see that I'm in that role now. I remember I used to be the wrestler that would ask, you know, the other agents, hey, did you see my match? What can I work on and stuff? So it's really surreal for me, that transition. And even when I'm putting together stuff, like when I put together my own matches, like I wouldn't really get goosebumps or anything, but now sometimes when I'm talking about these ideas and I know what our in-ring talent can do and how they can perform, and I'm just like visioning it in my head and I'm talking ideas with them, like I'll get goosebumps. I'm like, man, I could see this. This is going to be great. And I get excited for them. So, I mean, I love doing it, Dennis. I mean, the transition is not tough for me. I mean, if I never showed up on TV again, I would be totally okay with that. I mean, I do like wrestling. I do like performing, but I also really love doing this other part of the job as well.
It's kind of nice because when I started, I guess I'll say we, when you and I started kind of coming around again to Impact and you started, you know, tiptoeing back in and seeing if this is something you want to do, the company was in shambles. Now they're, you know, a year later, it's, you know, one of the comeback of the year company, let's basically call it, as 2018 comes to an end. You guys are starting to have merch. I'll be honest with you. Impact had this really, to me, best merch they've had was this Impact Vegas hoodie with the dice on it. I even made you go get me one.
Yeah, and I have it right here with me, and I actually wore it for a second. I apologize, Dennis, but I didn't really have I had nowhere to put it and carry it. Like, I didn't bring my bag down to the venue, and I'm like, I'm just going to put it on so I don't have to carry it underneath my armpit, you know, and get it all smelly and stuff for you. So I just wore it, and then, like, on maybe four different occasions, somebody said to me, like, you got a couple sizes too big for you, didn't you? And I'm like, oh, this is Dennis's. And as soon as I said Dennis, people didn't say who. People said, "Oh, okay." They know who you are, Dennis. They know who you are.
It makes me feel good. And you know, who knew that I would have an officially worn Petey Williams hoodie? So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you're gonna sign it and put it on eBay. The company has really been turning around. I mean, we're really delivering on pay per views. I feel it's good. I feel like we're not doing a monthly pay per view like WWE does or like how it used to do in the past. Now we can focus on really good, like our main storylines, our big matches happening on our pay-per-views, which are, I think we're up to like 1, 2, 3. Do we have 4 pay-per-views a year now? Mm-hmm. I think we're up to like maybe 4. I know we have Homecoming specials coming up in January. The Redemption one, that's usually, I think like April. We got Slammiversary in the summer, and then Bound for Glory. So 4 big pay-per-views a year. That's perfect. We have all the big matches on that.
Is Homecoming Twitch or a pay-per-view?
That's a pay-per-view. That's a big one. You're going to see a lot of things in the upcoming weeks building towards that. All our TV tapings were filmed right up to homecoming. So this goes into the new year. I think our homecoming pay-per-view is January 6th. It's in Nashville at the Asylum. The Asylum was where Impact first started in 2002. That was our first show at the Asylum. It's actually going to be torn down, I believe, sometime soon, post pay-per-view.
That's good. That's
not going to be. So we're literally going to tear down the house, pretty much. So that won't be around anymore. So it's good that we were able to book that venue before it got torn down. And like, kind of, you know, it's our homecoming. Come home where we started in 2019. Now it'll be what, 17 years ago. So the company will be around coming up for 17 years. That's pretty amazing.
I don't know if you plan on going for that or not, but I'll tell you, I will drive down with you to be able to see that.
Well, I think the way we're filming is, well, I'm not driving. I will fly to Nashville. Sorry, Dennis.
Dude, let's drive.
So
a road trip. No, come on.
No. I've been on way too many road trips in my career. But you got the January 6th. That's going to be homecoming. Then I believe we're going to do January 7th, also at the Asylum there. So only pay-per-view and one set of tapings. And then I believe later on that week, I think we're maybe heading back to Mexico. I don't know if it's been announced yet or anything. This is just speculation, what I'm hearing. So later on that week, we're going to do like a couple dates in Mexico to finish up our TV tapings. And then we'll be back in Vegas in February. And then in March, we'll be back in Windsor. And that's as far as I know right now for our TV taping schedule.
All right. Well, it's exciting. And we have, and we'll keep it a secret, outside the Tommy Dreamer, who we kind of have set up, but we don't really. And now we're all trying to act really cool. Text with Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer's potentially set up to be a guest. And we got a couple surprises, Petey.
Oh, wait. Surprises, huh?
Surprises.
So Tommy's potentially set up to be a guest.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he didn't mention anything about that.
I may have to call you in to close the deal.
Yeah. He's kind of keeping me in the dark about this. That's interesting. That's totally Tommy Dreamer, though. It's going to be like, surprise. And you guys are going to call me. Like, we're podcasting now. It's like, what? What's going on?
Well, Tommy, Tommy and I are BFFs now. We're kindred spirits.
Yeah, I can see that. Because, he won't even return my text, but he'll return yours. So, I mean, that tells me something about your relationship and mine and his relationship.
Now, are the tapings over now? Are they done? You coming home tomorrow? Is there another night?
Nope, that's it. Three nights in Vegas. That's about as long as anybody should stay in Vegas. Three nights or so. Staying anything longer in Vegas, you're just going to get worn out. Not a lot of sleep, just a few hours of sleep each night, but you know, I mean, when you're doing something exciting and fun, I guess you could just live off adrenaline. So I'm probably going to tomorrow's going to be like a recovery day. Tonight was our last night. We finished off the show and now we're just getting ready for the next one. And this is, I mean, we have the Thanksgiving show, I think, and around the Christmas time, we're going to have like a best of show, I believe. So between now and the end of the year, we're gonna have two shows that are kind of like recap shows, minus the Thanksgiving one where we actually have a match on that show, but storylines won't be involved. But those are the two shows that are kind of like recaps. A lot of good stuff coming up.
So in Las Vegas, there are a million things to do. Petey Williams, do the boys go out together now, or have you noticed that a couple people go out together, but everybody kind of goes to their room? What's the afterlife like in a taping in Vegas? Because I've been to Windsor with not a lot of things to do. Toronto had some things to do. And, you know, some of the boys, no names mentioned, will, you know, have a in-the-tapings party. What was the vibe and the afterlife like in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I think guys went out and stuff like that. You know, after a lot of the tapings here, we went and worked on the next day's show, like just tightening up some things, going through the you know, run sheet and everything like that, what we're going to film, things we have to still get filmed, all that kind of stuff. And you got to remember, Dennis, it's really tough that, you know, when we film things out of order and multiple things, it's kind of hard to keep track of the storyline. But yeah, I know guys will go because they talk about it backstage. You know, I'll just usually hang out at the casino here because the venue is at the casino. Our rooms are at the same casino. But, you know, I'll take some time just to decompress after the show's done. I might grab a drink and then just play, like, you know, some slots or poker. I know me and Johnny Impact two nights ago, I was mentioning that I wanted to gamble a little bit. I saw him at the bar afterwards. And he said, I asked him what his game was. And he said, it's blackjack. I said, oh, man, all right. I mean, I don't really play blackjack. I like more roulette or whatever, but I know how to play. So we went over there and we played some blackjack for a while. Man, let me tell you, he was up and he left early. And I was like, oh, and I lost all my money. So, but it was good, you know, shooting the breeze with him and his wife. So, to answer your question, we'll go out, we'll have some fun, we'll decompress and stuff. And then nothing too crazy, and then we'll get ready for the next night. I know a lot of people are catching red eyes home tonight and stuff because of the time change and everything. So, yeah, we'll either stick around, go somewhere else, wherever the case may be, decompress, kind of celebrate the good, you know, day that we just had at the tapings.
What were the crowds like?
They were good. Sunday was probably our biggest crowd, and I'm assuming that's because it's a weekend. So people, you know, kids don't have to wake up for school the next day or whatever the case may be. I would say it was a good crowd Sunday. Tuesday, a little bit lighter crowd, but I think today was a little bit lighter, but I want to say it was like the most rowdiest crowd, like the most hopping crowd. I don't know if they were just more into it. I know I recognize some of the fans that were there for all 3 days, but maybe we had more. Like what was weird was on the Monday, we didn't really have any in-ring segments. You know how you go in the ring and you have your long promos and stuff to set up angles. We didn't have any on Monday. It was mostly wrestling, but it seemed like Sunday and Tuesday were our rowdiest crowds. I might be looking into this too deeply, but and we did the least amount of segments. I think we had one or two segments less than the Sunday and Monday on Tuesday. So we got out here like maybe a half hour earlier than usual. But the crowds are good. They were into it. We had some surprises, which I believe they enjoyed. And we had some good wrestling, which, you know, obviously they're here. The fans are here to watch wrestling, so I know they enjoyed the wrestling.
Did they stick around? Because, you know, like we would go to different tapings, and there would be people in the back and, you know, asking for your autograph. And I remember the one nice guy that goes, who are you? I'm like, I'm Petey's podcast partner. He's like, oh, will you move so I can ask Petey for his autograph? I'm like, thanks, Jackleg. But you're in a casino. These guys are out gambling and drinking. Are the fans inside the casino or are they going home? How's that work?
I don't know. I remember seeing one fan, and I don't know his name. Because I remember seeing him like on, I can't remember if it was Sunday or Monday. I'd see him at like really late at night, like well after the tapings. Like I'd be going to go get something to eat or something. He's like, yeah, Petey. He's like, man, I don't go to bed. I don't go to get any sleep during these tapings. Yeah. And I'm like, man, you are crazy. Like he's just hanging out at the casino. And I'm like, but I mean, that's our fans. but yeah, they're right there at the door and they'll hang out at the casino and I'll be doing something and I don't even know if the person's a fan. They're like, hey, you know, can I get your autograph? And sure. So yeah, they're all over the place. I don't know if they're staying at the same casino or if they're just hanging out. But yeah, I mean, that's the mentality of the fans. I mean, they're pretty hardcore and, they just, you know, want to meet and interact with the wrestlers, which, you know, I love that. I'll sit down and talk to you, whatever, man. But I mean, that's where we're at with that.
All right, and before we wrap this up and then kind of give our spoiler alert cutoff, is there anything we didn't talk about that you feel like should be brought up maybe during the tapings? Is something cool? Anything?
Nothing really cool. I know KM, who's Kevin Matthews, who's tag team partners with Follow Out. I believe he broke his nose on, was it yesterday or the first night? He was wrestling LAX. In the last move of the match, I think Santana did like a moonsault off the second rope, and his like knee and shin just caught him right in the nose, and he came to the back, and he was just, I mean, he was leaking. And but I mean, you know, he fought through it, and he was good to go. And I think it made him look better looking with a broken nose. That's just me being biased. So I mean, you know, we had some injuries and stuff. I know I was just talking to Brian Cage later on or earlier tonight, and we were talking about his match from yesterday. I didn't see his match tonight, and at one point, he did like this discus clothesline or something, and then afterwards he dropped to the mat, and his sell on that was like, I was in the truck and I was like, is he really hurt? I've never seen him sell like this before, but it was great. It was a great sell. I'm like, I think he should sell like this all the time. And I asked him, and he actually did say like, yeah, I kind of messed up, like, you know, my shoulder on that. And I said, dude, you have to like sell like that all the time, 'cause it actually looked great, but it was an actual pain, and it was phenomenal. So, you know, I mean, there were some minor injuries and stuff. Really good matches. I mean, nothing, I don't know if there was anything super noteworthy where I was like, oh man, I can't believe that happened. But like the Thanksgiving, I don't want to give it anything away with the Thanksgiving. I don't know why I keep doing on that, just because it was so different and there was comedy and stuff, but even the ref got involved and everything, and man, it was so great. You have to tune in on Thanksgiving, Dennis. You really have to.
I will. Maybe I was there. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, you know, we definitely got to do, and I can't wait to talk about all this stuff when after it airs, and then we can talk about it on the podcast and everything. It's tough too, because I'll say spoiler alert right now. Okay.
One more thing.
Okay.
Before we go into the,
I want to say something else about something. So, you know, we're going to have a group debuting. They're kind of indie darlings, the Rascals. And I'm really excited about their group and their character and stuff. They're really phenomenal wrestlers, and their pre-tapes are going to be hilarious. And that's all I'll say about that. But I'm super excited about them, and I say they have a big future and impact.
Now, one more thing before we move on to the one last spoiler alert. I know that you're not a super duper cartoon character guy, right? You're not a Marvel comic book guy.
Okay.
Stan Lee passed away, who the creator of the Marvel Universe. As you know, yeah, it just, you're in Vegas, so you miss a lot of things. It happened just yesterday on my birthday. Yeah, well, people are trying to take away from my day, I guess. He's 95, lived a good life. Anyways, I did this earlier because I had this saved up, and Ellsworth thought it was great, and he wanted to play this game. And I don't know how well it's going to work with you. This is one of those instances where I wish Brian Cage was with us, because he's a, you know, comic book nerd like me. I wanted to take a couple guys from Impact and kind of equate them to what superhero would they be.
Oh, man. Superhero would they be?
In honor of Stan Lee. Let's start with like Brian Cage. I think the easiest would be Incredible Hulk, but I would say Thanos.
I would say Thanos, Incredible Hulk, maybe like a Bane. He'd make a good Bane. He'd put the mask on him and stuff.
He did a cosplay of Bane.
Yeah. So Incredible Hulk would be a good one. Him painted green, definitely. And then Thanos, sure. I mean, he's more of the villain of the superhero, but, you know, if I'm looking at good guy superhero, you know, definitely Hulk or Bane was a villain too. But, I would definitely say those. I can't think of anything else except for those maybe three characters.
Johnny Impact. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
I would call Johnny Impact your Captain America.
Oh, you know what? That's a good one. I didn't even think of that. That's perfect. What else could he be besides Captain America?
Maybe I wouldn't call him Wolverine. Maybe Iron Man.
I want to say, man, who would be our Iron Man? Man, Captain America is a really good one. I don't even know if anything could I can't see him anything other than Captain America. But Iron Man, possibly.
Let's see. Desmond, Desmond Xavier would be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was thinking, that's actually what I was going to say. Spider-Man, maybe, with his new character, I would even say like Ant-Man or something like that.
Ooh, not a bad one.
What's that?
I said that. That was a good one. Eddie Edwards was a difficult one because at first I want to say maybe like a Wolverine, but I don't think he's gritty enough. So I would maybe say for a Eddie Edwards, that's tough. who would he be?
And this is just Marvel, right? We're not going into DC.
Maybe Gambit. I don't know if you're familiar with
Gambit. Yeah, I'm familiar with Gambit. Hey, you know what? No, Eddie Edwards would be Deadpool.
Ooh, okay.
I think that's the closest one with his character and stuff. Him being like just over the top, crazy and stuff, because that's how kind of Deadpool is. But he's funny as well. I would say he's the closest to maybe Deadpool.
All right, Eli Drake. Now this is, I went back and forth when I started playing this game in my head because, I really think that Eli Drake would be like the perfect Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Because he's smart mouth.
See that.
He's got the attitude. I think right there would be perfect for me, for him. And I'm trying to think if there was anybody else that I really thought would be.
I think a Wolverine would be somebody like a Killer Cross.
Oh my gosh! I can't believe I didn't see that. That's perfect.
Oh, I think that'd be a good Wolverine.
Oh, how could I have been such an idiot to pass that up? You know, Doctor Strange, Matt Sydal.
Oh, I was gonna say that too. I could see that. I mean, it's coming in different characters, but they're very like insightful and very. Cerebral, I guess you could say, but yeah, definitely that. I'm trying to think of a character for what was it again? So we got Matt for Doctor Strange,
mm-hmm.
We got Wolverine for Killer Cross. And what are some other superhero for the Marvel? What about Drax the Destroyer? Who would be our like Drax the Destroyer? The Batista's character.
You know what? I might have to go Sami Callihan.
Maybe. Is there any? Sami would be a good Wolverine, too. I would say, like, Moose is, like, our Drax the Destroyer. Yeah. I don't know.
I think Bullseye would be Rich Swann.
Bullseye. Oh, that was Will Smith's character, right?
No. Hawkeye, I mean. Hawkeye would be Rich Swann.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Iron Man would be...
You know what? No, no.
I don't know if we have it.
How about this? How about Callahan would be Ultron?
Yeah, I could see that a little bit better. I'm trying to think of somebody a little bit more gritty, like somebody...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's tough.
All right, we're getting away from the main characters right now.
Yeah,
so,
we're going... But that's that, and we would love, by the way, your ideas. If we've missed something or you think would be perfect, feel free to tweet PD and myself at IPDWilliams@Dennis77Farrell or email us your ideas or even call the hotline. We gave the number out, or even if we didn't, but it's around, you'll find it. let's wrap this up, Petey, with our spoiler alert. So if you do not want any spoilers, cut off now. Stop it. There, beyond this spoiler alert, there's not going to be any more podcasts that you're going to miss. We are gonna spoil and then wrap up. So you're not missing anything, right, Petey? From this point on, when you say go, they're not going to miss anything if they did not want to hear what the spoiler is.
Correct. Go.
All right, Petey. I saw on the news, Conan tweeted it out. I have to ask you, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers from I was not a ECW guy growing up in my area. We did not have whatever channel ECW was on, and I was not a tape trader. But when this guy got into WCW, it changed my wrestling world, and I'm talking about Raven. He was backstage. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, Raven. I mean, he former Impact wrestler. We did bring him in for the segment. As if you know from when you're reading the spoiler alerts, it looks like Eli Drake is trying to kill hardcore wrestling, right? So who do you think of when you think of hardcore wrestling? You think of like guys on a roster like Abyss and Tommy Dreamer. And, now Raven. So, Raven came in, kind of made himself known. We have some backstage pre-tape stuff that we filmed that I don't want to give away because the fans don't know about it yet. Right. And I don't want to spoil that.
Don't.
But, Raven did come back, as part of this angle. And it was really good seeing Raven again. And I think... I didn't get to see the segment. I was busy doing other stuff. I really wanted to see it, how the fans reacted and stuff. I know they acted well. They could hear them react. But I actually wanted to see it. He came back during the whole Eli Drake, Tommy Dreamer thing and what they're trying to do with all that hardcore stuff. And it's going to be great. I love it. It's going to be great.
Now, is this a one-off? Is after this set of tapings, which is 6 weeks, a lot of TV, by the way, is he gone? Do we not see him again, or is there future plans for him?
I'm not sure because what they say, like sometimes we book people for like a one-off, but we're like, man, that went so well. And then your creative juices start flowing and then you're like, oh, we can do this and this. With him and all this kind of stuff. So you never know. I don't want to say, one off. And then he comes back after that. So you just don't know. So now the door is open. So we know Raven could potentially get involved again. Right now it is what it is. It was to build the storyline of what we're trying to build with Eli. But there's always potential for him to come back. I mean, you can't say it's a one-off. I mean, I think it was initially, booked and scheduled to be a one-off, but then you just never know what's going to happen afterwards.
I'm a big fan of his podcast. Does he know you have a podcast?
I don't know. I didn't even know Raven had a podcast.
He does.
Did not know. And so we didn't talk podcast or anything like that. I mean, I was pretty busy today. He was just here for today.
Okay.
To film the things that he had to film, so he wasn't here all week. And I talked to him in passing. That was about it.
What you guys? What would a PD Williams?
Nothing. I'm trying to think of what we talked about. We said hi, bye. Obviously, there was one interaction of something. I think with his run in or whatever.
No, we don't want any of that.
That was it.
I'm just talking about you. I mean, you see him, you go, Raven. Or do you, let's start with this. What do you call wrestlers? When you see a wrestler, whether it's out in public or at an arena, do you call them by their wrestling name or do you call them by their real name?
It depends. Like when today when I talked to him, like, hey, Raven, what's up? I mean, I could have said, hey, Scotty, what's up? Like, I just said Raven when I talked to him, and now it doesn't matter. I guess it really doesn't matter. It depends. Like, it depends on which people you're talking to, I guess you could say.
What would you call what do you call Johnny Impact?
John or Johnny? Like, because that's his name. I'm trying to think of who I don't call their actual wrestling name. Eli. I never call him like Sean or anything like that. It's just Eli.
Mm-hmm.
Moose. I don't even know how to pronounce Moose's name, so I always call him Moose. Sanjay. I might call Sanjay's real name or Sanjay. Jimmy. I'll call Jimmy or his real name. It depends. It really depends on the situation or whatever. Sometimes you're like, hey, Sanjay, you're trying to get his attention and he doesn't answer. And then you use his real name. And then he turns around. Who used my real name? I'm like, it was me. Hey, now that I have your attention, I have to say something to you. It depends. There's no like, for me, set rule in my head. I know that like Alex Shelley, I never call him Alex like that. I don't even think ever in my life I called him Alex Shelley. And he doesn't actually call me Petey. He actually calls me PJ. That was my name growing up with my family. And I told him that, and I guess that stuck with him. So he always calls me PJ, even when he texts me, hey, PJ, what's up? Like, nobody calls me that except for my family, like, when I was a kid. So it all depends. It all depends on your relationship with somebody or what you feel comfortable with or how you know them. That's all it depends on. There's no set rule, I don't think, in my mind.
Should fans always call a wrestler by his wrestling name?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember one time, not related to that, what you just said, but yes, always call them by their wrestling name. Especially, like, if you're asking for their autograph or the picture, like, are you taking a picture with, the wrestler or the real person? No, you're taking a picture with a wrestler because you want a picture with a wrestler. I remember one time, Chris Sabin, he introduced himself by his real name, and he wasn't like a big star yet. He was just starting off. And then the person that first met him, he's like, hey, I'm Josh. He's like, hi, Josh, I'm so-and-so. And then he makes his round. And then he was thinking like, hey man, who's this Chris Sabin guy I hear all about? And then he was like, oh, that's me. He's like, well, you said your name was Josh. He's like, well, that's my real name. It's Chris Sabin. He's like, I don't want to know a Josh. I want to know a Chris or a Chris Sabin. And I think since then, Chris Sabin has always introduced himself like my name's Peter Williams, so I'm Petey, like that's my real name. So when we're people are in the locker room, like guys coming in, like, hey, nice to meet you, I'm so and so. I'll say, hey, I'm Petey, and then Josh will be like, my name's Chris. Hi, Chris, nice to meet you. So he actually introduced himself as Chris now. So I think that really resonated with him, and he's using that now. Like, hey, I'm just gonna use my wrestling name when I'm at work doing business, being a wrestler.
Okay, I was curious about that. So let's wrap this up, send everybody home. I guess you don't have anything to promote, do you?
No, except for the TV tapings we just did. You can watch them all in the upcoming next like 6 weeks on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock on Pop TV.
Are you going to be at the BCW show, the holiday show coming up?
Oh, is that January 19th or when is that?
I believe so. I saw it come through my social media, but I didn't pay attention to the date.
I think Scott and I briefly talked about that. I am not sure. I said I would have to look at my schedule. So right now, as it stands, I am not sure.
Okay. And you're not going to be at the at least for now, the Rhino benefit. I think that's coming up in a few weeks.
No, I will not be at the Rhino benefit. What's the main event there? Shane Douglas and Joey Legend?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sounds great. That probably won't be me either.
All right. Well, there you go. You won't be seeing Petey in a town near you.
You will not. I'm all backstage now, man. It's all going to be voice and not seeing my face anymore. I'm probably going to come back. I'll show up on TV and be like, man, when did Petey get so much gray hair or whatever? Like, we haven't seen him forever. And no, it's Just kidding.
Wow. But Killer Cross beat you off. Killer Cross beat you so bad you're just off TV.
Hey, you know, I came back well after that. I mean, he beat me bad in June, and then I was at Slammiversary. And I think the last time I showed up on air, on television, was in September in Mexico. Who beat you then? Me, Puma King, Jack Evans, and Trevor Lee. I think that was the last time. No, and then I had a, like a little pre-tape with Scarlett or whatever, but that was the last time I wrestled on TV. So back in September. So it's okay, because then when I do come back, it'll mean more.
Trevor got the final laugh on you.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think
you
so.
You threatened to take Trevor to wrestler's court, and Trevor's like, you know what? I'm just going to get you taken off TV.
Yeah, that's what he did, right?
That's what he did.
I guess the last laugh is on me, right?
All
right,
guys. So if you enjoyed this, make sure you check out WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com. You can get this and the Dougcast with James Ellsworth, two great shows on one feed. So you don't just, yeah, I know, right? Unless you just stubbed your toe.
No, I'm saying that's it's a hell of a bargain.
Thanks. Yeah, and it's free. So if you go to WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com, you can click the link to whatever podcast place you listen to and subscribe. And then when you wake up, whenever we put out a new show, which, you know, two shows a week now, that's great value for free. All we ask is you subscribe. Be part of the show. You can tweet us, you know, at WP_pod, IPD Williams, Dennis 77 Farrell. You can email us at WrestlingPerspective@gmail.com or go to WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com and just send an email from the website. We have a hotline you can call. I think it's, I don't even remember at this point. 231-930. What?
you're just giving random numbers right now.
Yeah, but you can find it.
It's, and listen, I'll 231-930-2053.
See, okay?
That's the podcast. Yeah. That's the hotline number.
See, I wasn't just doing random numbers. I was actually going to do it right.
You ever see those people? It's like, 231-930-2053.
So, yes, you can call that number, leave a voicemail. It sounds like you might have called the wrong number, but it's not. It's a robotic lady. It is a voicemail. Leave a voicemail, your name, where you're calling from. You know, be part of the show. That's all we ask. And you know, here we go. We've got some exciting things coming down, some secret guests coming up. Petey, listen, it's like 2 a.m. here in Detroit. It's like noon in Las Vegas. You can go sit out by the sun right now.
Yeah.
So enjoy, get some sleep. Get home safe, because I really want that hoodie.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna make sure I check it. No, I'm not gonna check it. I'm gonna carry it.
You're gonna carry it.
Make sure that it doesn't get it doesn't get lost in the luggage or anything like that. And it'll be there for you, pressed, dry cleaned, all the above, and it'll be delivered to you.
Are you gonna deliver it? Because you do owe me a trip out to my house now.
When you come to my door, I will deliver it to you at my door.
Oh, that's painful. I get what you're saying, by the way. All right, guys, that's this week's Wrestling Perspective. Enjoy. We'll see you next week.